Computer.
Hello, good evening. We're just Cody's getting set up here, so it'll be just a second. Your camera's not even on, so it doesn't matter. It's fine. I don't need people to see me.
You sure?
Unless they want to see me. Well, they probably want to see the room, maybe. I don't know.
Everybody wants to
I
see
need to
the
get you a little camera.
They need to see what they're missing.
I have one in my car.
A what?
A
A
camera.
camera.
For what?
So you could plop it right there and they could see everybody.
Oh, we should have.
Silly goose. Let's see. Hi.
You go.
We're just getting situated and settled, so it'll be just a minute.
Yvonne isn't coming. And instead of Brian Cates, we have something.
Brian's here too.
Oh, he isn't coming.
Alfredo is online too.
Yep. Ken Jepsen.
Let me invite. I'm gonna turn that off. I'm gonna invite. I thought I invited Gosain and Yvonne.
Is there any potential future revenue?
Yes.
A lot.
He's bored now.
So we have two,
Alfredo's online too.
three. You have seven board members, I
Look
believe.
at that. Yeah. So seven of us. So Eli's not here and Marty.
Isai.
Yeah, that's, yeah. Elias.
And Martin are the only two missing. Bless you.
How about that?
We are recording, just so you know.
Okay. I'll be professional.
Oh, well, no, that's.
Please don't sneeze. I already
Oh, okay. That's what that meant? I didn't know.
Yeah, I did.
You already ate it?
Dude, let's get this party started.
Yeah, she's like, I got places to be. Okay, we're ready to go. You guys ready online? As ever. All
We're
right.
in.
I promise this meeting won't be as long as the last one. Okay, good evening. It is Tuesday, November 14th, 2023, 6:07 p.m. We're at Esperanza Elementary and we've got some folks online. We'll go around the room here and then I'll allow you guys to introduce yourself. I am Becky Kemp, chair.
For the case, secretary.
Rosio has a member,
You're
board
up.
member.
Great. Marty Banks, board member.
Thank you very much.
Don Fouts, board member.
And Jesse Hyatt, teacher.
Eulogio Alejandre, principal.
All right, we'll start online. Who do we have up present with us online?
It's me, Alfredo Figueroa.
Okay.
Angela Urrea, board member.
Juan Freire, board member.
Brian Cates, business manager.
And Jeff tonight, Bailey.
Wonderful. Thank you. All right, well, good evening. Why don't we go ahead and get started? We'll get started with the financial report with Brian and Ken.
Okay, thank you. I know Ken is a busy man, so I'm going to let him start off, and then I will continue once he finishes, and any questions obviously you all have for him, I'll review quickly the financial reports. Thanks, Ken, for being here.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks, everyone. Grateful for technology. I kind of do a whirlwind tour of schools this time of year, so I wish that the car background was a Zoom background, but it's not. But anyway, good to be here. I know I kind of was here, I don't remember, a month ago or something, and we talked generalities. So I'll just kind of go high level through this stuff, and if you guys have any questions, you can ask me. Is it Brian thought maybe I could just refer to the audit page numbers. Would you guys like that, or for me to share my screen?
Thank you.
Oh, I need to let you
Give him control.
We'll give you control.
Okay.
You should have it.
I think I've got it. Let's see.
Yep.
Guys, pick that up, okay?
Yep. Thank you.
Great. Okay, this is, as you can see, a lengthy document because you've got a single audit as well as the regular stuff. So if we spend a lot of time on 53 pages, then I would already be breaking whoever made the promise of a shorter meeting. So here's the first of four reports. It's the one to do with numbers. It's kind of lengthy, but it's 3 pages, but it's a 3-page way of saying that you have what we call an unmodified opinion, which is a clean report. So this tells any users of the statements that the numbers can be relied on and that they're good. We're going to look at, just to remind people every year, but these statements, because of them being government statements, it's the same numbers, but they're presented in 3 different ways. So this first page is very high level, but it does give a good picture.
Hey, Ken.
Yeah.
Sorry to interrupt. Can you focus in on that document so we can see it better here?
Yeah.
You bet. Enlarge it. Yep.
Thank you.
Tell me when to stop.
Back a little, one more.
Probably too big. How about that?
Thank you.
Okay. Sorry about that. So here we got your balance sheet if you were a for-profit business. But you can see the current assets, which is your kind of your usable stuff and your building, your current, which is your cash, receivables, other kind of usable assets. You've got just over 4 million. Last year you got 3.8, so you're up just a bit. Capital assets, that's your building, equipment, everything that goes into that. You got some depreciation there. The deferred outflows are kind of hard to understand, but just know that that's representing your pension plan assets and liability differences. We won't spend a lot of time there, but just know that you are part of that URS plan with the state. So, you contribute what you need to there. Your liabilities, they're pretty similar. You got a little bit of movement. We'll talk about that in a minute. But overall, the most important part probably is down, after having spoken about that, is down at the bottom of this table. You can see, if you remember that, this line, the net investment in capital assets, look a little odd because it's negative. But the reason why is it's you take your capital assets up here of 6 million and you subtract from that debt 8 million. So up here you have depreciation that's quicker than the principal payments on the debt. So most of my clients have a negative number here. It's not a bad thing. The restricted assets, we'll talk about those in a minute. But again, you're a big school, so you're going to have some restrictions. A lot of that's cash as well. And then unrestricted. So this is kind of usable balance, if you will, $2 million. So that's very healthy. It's very similar to what you had last year. Next, we have the revenue and expenses for the year. So your state and federal aid was up a good chunk this year. And you can see your expenses, instructional is up, as you would expect. But overall, you still were pretty close to break even on the year. Last year, you had a bigger number, but you had different revenues and things. And so this has helped me, what you've got here. Okay, we're going to skip down a bit now. So again, same numbers, but a little more detail. So 2 million of cash and investments. And you've got restricted bonds require you to set aside money kind of in a sinking fund. So this $1 million is still your money. It's just you can't spend it for now, but you can keep the interest on it, which is really nice with the rates that you're getting these days in investments. It's appropriately invested. And you can't keep that. So that's good. These receivables are just timing receivables from state and federal government. And then here we've talked about your land and building and things. Then the accrued liabilities. And then the pension liabilities, you might expect with the market performing the way it is, it's the liability is bigger, but that it'll flatten out over time. And then here's those numbers. Remember, we talked about the restricted balances. So you have almost 1 million of that restriction was debt service. So, and then the biggest thing is food service, which a lot of my clients have. Obviously, you're getting reimbursed for meals served, and yeah, you can use it pretty widely as long as it's with food service. So I know you'll keep an eye on that and spend it appropriately, but it kind of is what it is at this point. We're not going to go through this because this is just in a format. Again, I think the numbers, the way we looked at them earlier, is more understandable. This is the second way we look at it. This is how the state measures it. And this doesn't include your capital assets or your debt. So when they look at it, it's a $3.6 million fund balance. So that's, again, very good. That's $4 million of assets with only $400,000 of liabilities. So that's very good as well. Kind of the theme here. So the rest of this is just kind of boilerplate accounting policies and procedures and disclosures. I can tell you there's nothing new that you have this year, no new statements, and there's nothing here that would call any attention to you. This is a disclosure about where you have your cash and investments, and you can see it had about $450,000 straight cash, and the rest of all of it was in the PTIF, which is great because it's earning good rates right now, and so you've got a good balance here of investing what you can to get a good return on it while maintaining some cash for operations. So that's a good note as well. Here, not much change year to year. You can see, and a reminder, a lot of people ask, this is at cost. For these statements, once you buy land or building, it stays at cost, even though it's likely worth more. But you paid $850 for the land, then you're building $6.8 million. And you can see we're depreciating that the building's over 39 years. So you're just going to have this charge every time of $208,000 for depreciation, but it's a non-cash expense. You've already kind of purchased your building. And then you got a few leases for copiers. So, and then here is your bonds. You can see that you got $7.6 million. And then these are the principal payments coming up over the years. Here's your interest. And just like your house payments, right? It's going to, interest is going to go down and principal will start working its way back up as you pay that down. Concentrations, that's just a standard footnote. Of course, all charter schools are getting 95% plus of their revenue from the state or federal government. We're not going to spend a lot of time on pension plans. As I mentioned, just know that you're contributing what you should and your people are covered in the intent that you have. Okay, this one is what the numbers in this column, second from the right, are what we already reviewed. These are your budgeted amounts. It's always a fine line on the budget, right? Like you want to budget as close as you can. And you had your budget of total expenditures was $6 million, came just over it at 6.1. So it's pretty close. We do have to report that you were a bit over budget, but on the budget that you're operating on, that's still not very far off. And usually not much is said. You might get a letter from the auditor just asking if that's been addressed for the coming year, but that's usually all they say about it, if anything. Okay, let's go here then to our second report. This report is, when you're doing an audit with a government entity, you have to look at your controls a bit. What does that mean? It means we look to see if your reconciliations are being reviewed, that you guys are reviewing your financial reports on a monthly basis, that payroll's being approved, for example. We look at procurement to see if things are getting approved by the level of a person that should be, depending on the amount of the purchase. We're looking at all those kind of things, and we didn't have any issues with any of those. It looks like things are operating well. Then this is the single audit report. It's also, there's just one thing but that we found. It's not a big deal, but I'll explain it. So these are all the federal dollars that you have. If you have over $750,000 of expenses, you have to have a single audit. And so, of course, with all the COVID money coming in, I have so many of these single audits going on. So eventually, as all that settles out, you may not have to have one in the future. It's just kind of seeing how it goes. It was all quite clean. There was one thing, which, again, a lot of my clients had a finding. When they did some of these grants for COVID, they required a report to be filled out, and they weren't very clear. It was a horrible report and the instructions on it were very difficult to understand. And so a lot of people had misses on it. You didn't spend any dollars where you shouldn't have been, and there weren't any findings on like misuse of dollars or anything. It was just that how that report was filled out. But I think there's been some clarity in the last few months, and I think it won't be an issue going forward. I mean, the funds are going to go away anyway. But so there was a finding on it, but I want to reiterate that it was not a finding of dollars used or dollars, you know, qualifying for those dollars or anything. It's just how it was reported. And so when the report is filled out next year, I think there won't be any issues because now there's been some clarity on it. So any questions on that? I don't want to leave it till if there's any questions. So I don't want to minimize it either. But on the other hand, it's not something that I think you should be terribly concerned about.
I don't have any questions now.
Okay. The last report, 404 here, is the state also asks us to go ahead.
Would you mind zooming in on that just one click?
Yep.
Thank
this
you.
One, is that better?
One more. Oops.
You guys still see that okay? Or is that too big?
That's a little too big.
So I only got, there's...
that's perfect.
There we go.
Perfect.
Is that better? Okay, thank you. Sorry. So the state gives us a few additional procedures to work on, and you can see, and they sometimes change these up. Sometimes they won't do much, but these are the five areas that they ask us to look into this year. So, you know, you guys approved the fraud risk assessment, and of course, Brian's always asking you to be articulate and follow specific rules in the meetings, and we do have to look at those. We have to look at, they kind of fall under these more general things, but we do have to look at the budget. We talked about that. We have to look at procurement. We have to look at some salaries. We have to look at fees. We have to look at, I'm just speaking generally here, all these kinds of things. And the only issue we found here was, I kind of mentioned it earlier, but it's just that budget matter. But again, that's not to be too worried about. It's not an uncommon finding that I have to report on. So I mean, overall, so there was the two things, the budget and then that report with the single audit, but neither of which should cause much issue. But overall, just telling you that things are good, they're organized, and we get good response on our questions, and everything's made available to us. So we do appreciate it. It's a big effort by your folks and ours. I know there's a lot of letters, emails, questions, and this and that, but we do appreciate it, and I do enjoy working with your school because things seem to go well. That's my report, unless there's any questions.
What was the dollar amount of the budget exceedance?
Let's go back up to that. It was like 100-something thousand. Close here. I'm going to shrink this a bit because I can't see it. Here we go. 126,000. You see this row? So here was your original budget. Here's your final budget. Here is the actual. And the looks like the biggest difference was in the instructional area. Probably salaries or something is my guess. I don't have that right in front of me, but
the salaries. We did that salary increase last year.
Yeah. But again, on a, you know, on a $6.1 million budget and you miss it by 126, that's not too much.
Yeah.
And I mean I have some clients, right, that really they build in oodles and oodles of. And then it's like, well, at what point does a budget become not useful if you're building too much of a cushion in, right? So it's always a little cat and mouse game, but it looks like you're pretty darn close on it. So. Any other questions there about that or any other?
No, I'm not surprised. We talked to the financial committee that we weren't surprised at having that finding. We don't want any findings, of course. Aloha, right. Wasn't happy about having findings, but you know, there's, I'm not surprised that we had this finding at all. And
you can build it. That's what it means. When you do your final amendment last year or next year, you could, this year, I guess, right? You could build in, you know, a 5 or 10%.
Yeah, that's what we talked about.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we did build in a cushion. You can see from the original to the final budget, the increase there, but it just wasn't enough by that. Yeah. Approximately, what is that, about 2%? So,
yeah. And we discussed in the financial committee too, you know, that was, we did a huge market survey, a salary survey, and that's why there was the increase last year for the salary dollars. And in talking with Alohio today and Brian, I asked, how often are we doing those? How often should we be doing that? Because we hadn't really done that. And the state does it every 3 years. So that may be something we want to consider, and maybe even to have a better way of forecasting, we could just look at trends and try to do a better job forecasting or predicting how those salaries may change. They may not change because we did a significant increase, but that would be next year that we would want to start pulling that information again and putting that into in order to build that into the budget for that.
Yep. So.
Sounds like you're all over it.
Yeah.
And I mentioned that other one. I honestly, I've got 30 single audits, and I probably got 10 or 12. And not all of those 30 had that particular program selected, that ESSER program on the single audit. But I probably got 10 or 12 schools with findings for that very report because it was just written so terribly.
Yeah.
Okay.
It
was. Thank you. Thank you so much for the report.
Yeah.
I have
thanks,
no
everyone.
Thank you, Ken.
Thanks, Ken.
Thank you.
All right. See ya.
Okay. See ya.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right. So I guess we can look at the financial report.
Yeah. I know we've spent a lot of time on that, but I think it was necessary. I think it was great, especially since the statements have a year or two ago switched to the government-wide GASB format, which is very difficult to understand, essentially the same data presented three different ways. But that's why, you know, I love working with Ide Bailey. Ken is great. He's obviously very willing to join meetings such as this and help explain. So, I just want to also thank all of you who played large parts in help getting the audit done on time and being responsive to their requests. Appreciate that. Just really quick, I'll touch on the financial report so that the meeting can continue. As far as our PTIF, it continues to perform well. You can see there on the report, and these are also in the Google Drive as well. 8,700 up to just over 9,000 from September to October. So that's great. Continues to perform well. So we'll continue as we have the funds available in our operating account. We'll continue to monitor that to see if we can continue to shift funds into our PTIF. The budget summary, currently we were forecasting about 3.6% operating margin, which is strong. Categorically, our revenues and expenses are good. We went through the detail in our finance committee meeting, looked down into the weeds, so to speak, as far as different line items. There are a few line items that Alohio and I will monitor closely just to make sure that we're on track there for the year. But for the most part, everything is in and around that 33-35% mark. As of the end of October, we're about a third of the way through the fiscal year. Cash position is good, trending pretty typically for what we usually see at this time of year. And then, of course, our enrollment continues to be strong. 537 was the number as of the end of October. So this month, November, and the allotment memo, we should see a true up happen, which I've talked about in the past. We are over our budgeted enrollment, which is pretty typical what we've seen in the past. So we should see a bit of a bump in our state revenue forecasts once the allotment's trued up and once we get all of the data entered. I know we don't meet in December or December. So in January's meeting, we should see the effect of that true up that I've spoken about. Any questions?
No.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Right. Anybody, everybody good? You're good? Okay. Let's go ahead and do the first item on the list. Actually, there are two items. I'm reviewing the minutes that we're going to discuss. We did have an action item that was deferred to this month, and I forgot to alert Ari, and that was we need to review the from last month. It was to review the
limit,
the expenditure limit.
I'm sorry, the what?
The purchasing limit.
Yeah, it's the procurement.
It's not on the agenda.
The procurement threshold.
Yeah. So Brian was going to research to find out what the state has been doing. And Brian, why don't you tell us what you found out?
Yeah. So it all came up during the audit when they suggested that our procurement threshold be increased from 1,000 to 5,000. They are required to test on the quote unquote more strict limit. In our case, and in a lot of charter schools' cases, their threshold was lower than that of the state, that the state's being $5,000. So, and to my knowledge, it was always $1,000. And so we emailed a couple of contacts at the state to confirm that that was indeed the state's limit, and they confirmed that it is. So through a couple of emails, I believe it was Cody, confirmed that the auditors were fine with just an email confirming, yes, we want to increase the limit in order to test based on that limit for the audit. In other words, for FY23. But we needed to have an actual vote from the board to formally increase that as a part of the school policy. So that's what Becky is referring to increase the procurement limit. In other words, instead of $1,000, instead of any purchase $1,000 or more getting 2 to 3 bids, that limit's now $5,000. So it will ease the procurement burden, so to speak, for the school.
Anybody want
to banks moves to increase the procurement limit from the existing threshold of $1,000 to new threshold trigger of $5,000.
Okay, Angela seconds. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Unanimous vote. We will now change that procurement. Okay, the next item on the agenda is to review the October minutes. Did everybody get a chance to review the minutes before the meeting? Yes. Okay. Do we want to do a quick summary of the minutes from last month?
Yep.
Do you want me to read them off while you type? Okay, so last month was a very eventful month, our meeting. We once again reviewed the financial report. That we had several action items on the agenda. The first was to review and approve the August meeting minutes. The second was to review and approve the fifth grade maturation program and the LEA specific license for Maestro Ramirez. And all of those were approved unanimously. Lastly, we reviewed and approved the Teacher Student Success Act grant, the TSSA. And as we just mentioned, now we deferred the purchasing policy limit. We had several items up for discussion. The most major item of discussion will lead into our other discussion points for this evening, and that was the discussion of the expansion and forming subcommittees. And then the principal provided us with the report. And it looks like last month we were at 539 students. So we were doing really well. And that's about it. Does anybody have any changes or any questions or need any clarification from the minutes?
None here.
None here. Would anybody like to motion to approve the minutes for October?
Marty Banks moves to approve the minutes as reviewed this meeting and as reflected for the October 10th, 2023 meeting.
I'll second the motion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
There we go. So the next item, there's two items up for discussion. I think maybe we talk about the we'll flip it and do the treasurer first. What's that?
Just one thing that I learned with that little is the information we had to do is we're supposed to ask for anything in contrary so that we can.
Oh, okay. Does anybody?
Somebody does not.
I'm sorry, for the minutes and the procurement, let's start with the minutes. Was anybody against? Or disagree with the minutes? Okay. What about the procurement limit going from 1,000 to 5,000? All right. Thank you.
Hearing none.
Yeah, there we go. We'll move forward. The next item, they're not, they don't require a vote. They're discussion items. Well, the first one we'll talk about is the possible candidate for treasurer for the committee. That's the only member of the board that we do not have in place. And I don't know how we should typically do it, or just find out if someone's interested, or how would you?
You guys,
I enjoy going to the meetings, but I can't do both jobs. So I don't know if is there anyone interested in being treasurer?
Do I tell them what it would entail?
I was going to say, yeah. It, you just attend another meeting prior to this one at 5 o'clock. Brian, myself, and the board member. Meet for about 30 to 45 minutes to review the budgets and the expenditures and so on and so forth. And that's about it. That's the only, and sometimes when the business manager is not available, the board member kind of takes the role of reporting to the board about the budgets.
This is Marty. I'm going to refrain from volunteering because I'm going to volunteer for the building committee.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, I'm trying to remember, as we went through and interviewed folks, there were a couple people that had some expertise with that, but I'm trying to recall who it was.
Yes. So
Angela,
I'm not sure if Angela was anybody, were any of those on the, that are joining us online, or any of you interested in this position or having this role on the board? No.
She's not I.
Okay. Not I.
Okay.
Who was it? Somebody has some talent for the money.
I think it was you as well.
Funny, but I was treasurer on board.
That's what I remember. Yeah.
But okay. I don't think I can do it because I'm not. I also just can't do it. I'm sorry.
Oh, no. That's totally fine. That's understandable. Well, we can.
There was somebody else.
Yeah, there was someone else. I can't remember either.
Budgetary?
I'm trying.
I will tell you, as somebody who sat in on the last two, it is very the major discussions that happen are between Elohio and Brian. I just chimed in my two cents every now and then, basically do exactly what he did here as the group.
Yeah.
But then there's some other, maybe occasionally there will be some other.
If you think you're not, don't have a background in accounting or finance, that's not required here.
Yeah.
So don't let that be a reason for anybody to feel, you know,
you
not qualified.
You can do it.
Right. I can do it. I'm not a numbers person.
It's okay.
Okay, Don.
I would like to move forward and nominate Don Faust as treasurer of the Esperanza School Board.
Marty Banks would second that motion with the word of encouragement, Don, that even if it's new material, I think that within a couple of months it'll feel pretty comfortable. Mm-hmm. And kind of expand your sort of horizons a little bit, and you'll get familiar with a lot of the terminology, a lot of the specifics of our particular
from school, and although it may seem daunting, my suspicion is you'll get comfortable really fast with it.
All right.
And you know, you've served on every other role except for the director of the school and teacher. So I think it's well within your wheelhouse. Yeah. Okay. Is anyone opposed to Don being the chair?
It's unanimous.
Okay. All those in favor.
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you.
We've got you for the next 3 years. Is that what it is? 2 years? Well, wonderful. Okay, so the next item on the agenda, I wanted in our last meeting, we knew that we would have to have subcommittees for the expansion of seventh grade. And we decided in that meeting that we would have one committee focused on infrastructure and operations, so construction, you know, finance, that type of thing. And then the other would be focused on curriculum. At that time in our meeting, Marty, Angela, Becky, Elogio, and Omar all volunteered to be on the infrastructure and operations subcommittee.
Tell me those names again one more time. Sorry.
Marty, they're on the minutes.
Oh, I didn't see it.
There you go.
There you go.
Oh, voila.
And then the other would be the subcommittee focused on curriculum. And that was Juan, Cody, Rosie, Asai, and Yvonne. Is there anybody that I missed? It's not a requirement that you sit on a subcommittee. So if you didn't volunteer.
Put my name on it?
On both, yeah.
I would do curriculum.
Okay. So Don and Elogio will also be on curriculum. I will send it out. I would like to, if we could, for our next meeting or even an out of committee vote, establish who the chairs should be of each. I believe we need to have these subcommittees need to be structured and report up to us.
I thought that he was going to be the chair.
I think I didn't. There were no notes of who was volunteering to be chair.
You're calling these subcommittees?
Yeah.
And what's the committee under which the subcommittees
operate? Well, they're just a branch off of us. So they would be a committee, actually, not a subcommittee. You're right. It would be a committee.
Make sure I didn't
sort of miss. Yeah. Okay. You're correct. I keep forgetting that we're the governing board. So
you can include me in the
program. Okay, perfect. All right, Jesse. We'll put Jesse down. So I think, who is going to chair the curriculum committee?
I think it was me. Yeah, that I, yeah.
Okay. But if
someone else wants to do it, maybe Don wants to do it.
No, I think Juan is good.
Juan is way I think Juan, than
you
I am.
Are perfect for that. Okay. Okay. And then do we want to have the opportunity for Ari or you to reach out to other faculty members at the school, or do we not want to go that route?
I don't know that we want a huge committee because very few things. Yeah. I think we have a teacher, we have the vice principal, and
that's
myself. I think we're good.
I think that's perfect. Okay. So because we are the governing board and these are committees that will be reporting up to the board, the idea is that you guys would be reporting up each month. So that would be a new discussion item. Keep it brief. But because of that, I will be emailing I'll send it to everybody. But Marty and Juan, you'll need to really establish your charter and, you know, set your ground rules and what you want to do. But the expectation would be that you report up each month. I didn't email it out, but I did kind of begin creating a charter template on, you know, what needs to go into the charter. And where's my, there it is. I forgot I put a header on it with the Esperanza. So you would need to, of course, have the chair is of the committee and who the higher up and where you report. What's the purpose of your committee? Why are you being formed? And, you know, the scope, You'll need to record minutes from your meetings the same way. So if somebody you want to, you really develop your charter in your meeting or as a group, you'll develop how you would do this. And then, so once again, there's just who your members are, your voting members, or if there are any ad hoc or non-voting members, just, you know, there observing or participating. And then what your role is as the chair and any members. It's not mandatory that we have all these different position titles. I think the big thing is having a chair and somebody to do minutes. And that the understanding is that you guys are all voting members and you're making those decisions and just recording that information so that you can report it up and we have it available. You can make your own fancy name if you want. And just establishing, you know,
creative.
Your rules, what the percentage of votes you need for people to be there to move forward. Really, it's just gives you an opportunity to make sure that things are happening and accomplishing in the meetings and that you're not, you know, we're accomplishing something. We're not just, you know.
Do we currently have any deadlines that must be met, especially with the building one?
I do not know that,
because those are things that need to happen fairly quickly.
Just so that everybody knows, we don't believe that the building can be built by August. And so we are looking at other options, such as using this room we're in right now as a classroom in the choir room. And
we
then
know
just
how expensive are, like, are we low, like,
no, it's just the fact that you need an architect, you need a lot of things, you need so
committee.
We think that it's going to take more than a year because of materials. The building next door to us was supposed to open August 1st and it's still not finished, and I hear that it's because of materials. So we are moving forward without having to have a brand new building. We will be tight in this building, but I think we can do it. And that gives you a little bit of time for you to get that building up and going.
Okay.
And so, you know, it's not a must do. The curriculum, I've been digging up some stuff that I had, and then I went into the UEN, and we're putting that together, and I'll share that. I'll share that with the committee once we meet, but I think we should be on the right track.
Okay.
Template, the charter template that you had.
Uh-huh.
Is that an extra you could spare?
I am not done editing it. I just barely started doing it this evening. As soon as it's done, I will send it out to everybody.
Perfect.
I didn't put it on the agenda, but I am just created and I'll be emailing it to everyone. It's basically a contact form in Google Docs, just because it will get everybody's information, and then I will share. We'll share that and publish it as well. Cody has a spreadsheet, but it was kind of created just based off of initial documentation, and we want to make sure that we're communicating with everybody.
Great.
So that's all I had. Anybody else have anything?
I have my report.
I know you have your report. Okay, let's go ahead. Go ahead.
I want to propose something.
Okay.
Because we have new board members, and we were looking into some type of a retreat, do we have funds in the board for December to do, like, a board dinner or something like that? Go somewhere.
Yes.
I don't know if that's of interest to anybody or not.
Yes.
Last time we came and visited with the faculty, those that were interested, and but it could be maybe something good to get us together just to
the board.
The board. Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm just proposing that to throw out as an idea.
We definitely can. That funding is not a problem.
Yeah, it's a good idea. I think December's challenging, though. You know, schedules, calendars, but.
Does someone want to take the lead and plan something? If you just tell us what you want, we can help you put it together and order things.
You send out your survey. I guess you can always edit it.
I haven't finished it. What am I asking? I apologize.
Just ask if there's an interest in going to dinner as a board, and I'd be willing to call a few places to see who could handle us and who would fit us in, and then we have a number.
Okay. I will add it in.
And maybe even ask, like, what day of the week is best, and then we can help narrow it down.
And will this be next month? Or what month are we doing?
There's a lot of stuff.
Between now and Christmas.
Okay. All right. Sounds
too crazy. We, I mean, anywhere from the 1st of December, which is
okay,
or if it's just too crazy, we could say for January. However,
growing blue. Okay, perfect. I will do that. I'll send that out to everybody. I may do it separate. I may send out both the contact sheet and a survey. So I'll get that out to you guys this evening.
Hey, I'm gonna make sure I'm understanding your comment about the, you know, the lead time for construction. So that what that tells us is that we would, the big picture critical time path is we would ideally like a building done, completed, furnished, ready to use for what academic year?
August 2025 is where we would need a building up and going. So we have 18 months.
And I heard you say that you wanted to report once a month. So wouldn't that be between now and January that each committee would meet at least once?
Yep.
Yes. So we're not meeting as a board in December, but I would encourage you to meet your committees to meet in December and find a night that works in December. And Marty, I'll leave it to Marty and Juan to help establish that.
And Marty and Juan, if you want to meet in person at the school, you're welcome to do so. If you want to do it on Zoom, it's up to you guys where you want to meet and how you want to meet.
And because it's a committee, not a board, we can have an email thread, correct?
Yes.
As opposed to with
right
boards, but you can.
With committees, you can.
And we can create a board, a folder for them as well, each one.
Yep.
Is Omar on the call?
Omar, are you on the call? On the call? Omar Gosain? I don't think he made it.
Yes, I'm here.
Oh.
Okay. Yeah, it's okay.
Okay.
Yeah, with everything.
Oh, there we go.
Okay, he just wanted to make sure that
that sheet with contact information, that'll include phones.
Yes.
Phone, address, their role on the committee. Okay. I even put in a thing for birthdays if you want to throw your birthday in there.
Great.
I don't want to care how old you are, just what month it is, and maybe we can celebrate.
Wait.
Sure. Credit score.
Marriage status.
Firstborn. Okay, that's it.
Okay, so I'll do my report. Can you all see the PowerPoint? Yes? No?
Not yet.
Can't see it? I thought I was sharing.
You are screen sharing.
We see the first slide.
Do you see the pictures?
Just the first slide.
They can see the first slide.
Yep, then they can see it.
Can you see the second slide?
Yes, the enrollment.
The enrollment.
It's your people, your faces. There you go.
Okay. The numbers, as you can see, 537, as was mentioned earlier, are... wait list is still over 100. And I am going to do, we just finished the Apple test assessment. And we just finished it for this year. The last time we showed you was for the previous year. And so I am going to jump. And of course the Apple test is given to 3rd through 6th. And once again, as you can see, we are above the national average. The little dot, the orange dot, is the national average for 3rd grade, which is being at the 3.8 level. We are 4.3. And so we're above the national average in 3rd grade, in Spanish, 4th grade. They take 3 tests. They take the writing, listening, and reading. And we are just above the national average on 2 and just below the national average on the interpretive reading, as you can see. 5th grade, they only take 1 test. And interpersonal listening and speaking, and we are above the national average. 6th grade, we are at or above the national average in all three tests that they have to take.
The national average being what? Of all schools?
Of all the schools that take the Apple test.
Which is?
There are thousands of schools.
Public charters.
Public charters, private.
This is the big net.
This is the big, yeah. This is a good place to be to test yourself to see where you are nationally. And then another item that I want to share with you is recently the State Office of Education contacted me and informed me that we are the 16th highest growth school in the state. That is out of 922 schools. We're 16th place. And I on the screen, you can see why. How much we have increased with all subgroups, including students with disabilities, English language learners, economically disadvantaged, and our Hispanic Latinx students. We have doubled our scores in most cases from 2018 to last year. And this year, it is no different. We're still up very high. So much so that she said that we are getting what she called a chunk of change. And I asked, you know, what does that mean? And she said, well, right around $100,000, because we have done so well and we are out of CSI. And she said that by the end of November, we should see it on our allotment at the end of the month. I also asked her about how to spend the money, because I get scared when I get this much money, because I know they're gonna be auditing our records. And she said that she would let me know how other schools who have gotten out of CSI have spent their money. They did mention that other schools that have gotten out of CSI, that they had given out bonuses. And so I will have to wait until they tell me the parameters of how to spend that money once we see it on our allotment at the end of the month. So I thought that was a very good sign that we're doing well. They asked me to do a presentation on Thursday, which I had to do from New Mexico because I was in a conference, but I did it on Zoom. And it was a presentation to all the schools in the state that are under CSI right now, and kind of shared with them some of the things that we do to make sure that our students are showing progress from year to year. And so I did a presentation for them on Thursday last week. Any questions about that?
So what are accountability points?
I'm sorry?
What are accountability points?
It's a complicated process. They used to use those points to give the school a letter grade. And so for every point, for example, on the end of level test, on achievement, we used to get 2 points, accountability points. And for progress, we used to get 1 point. And they would take all the points and find a percentage of what we received. And if we were above 50% accountability points, the school was an A school, above 50%. They don't do that anymore. They just give you the points system and they kind of let you figure it out. If you think that doubling the score is okay, great. In some schools that are very, very high achievement, like 90% of their kids are on grade level, so maybe 2% improvement is sufficient. But the ones that are fairly low, we need to strive to get at least 10% improvement. And so we're at 43.76 on the points and 21.96% improvement. So that it's a complicated process that the legislature put together, but it's no longer used to do the grading.
Or stated differently, some staff member on a legislator's team put it together.
Most likely. Yeah. Yes. No, I think you're right. Again, I think it was just a point of information for all of us that 16th out of 922. The slide that you see came from the State Office of Education presentation to the larger group. I just copied that slide just like it is there.
You don't need to dig into it too deep tonight, but any other sort of ideas about how that might be spent other than some rifle shot bonuses here and there?
There are some other things that she mentioned. In some schools, they because writing was one of their goals to improve, they had the whole school, all the kids wrote stories and published it in a book and gave a book a copy to each of the students. There's just different ways. And again, I don't know all the different ways because I was not even aware that they were going to give out this funding. But she told me that she was going to give me some ideas on what other schools have done. And it'll have to come to the board to decide how we're going to spend it. Once I see it on the allotment, I will bring it to you. Okay.
If you're interested in any initial feedback about what ideas might concerns about distributing it to teachers, I like the idea of giving some of that to the teachers. If we can do it in a way that we don't create a lot of animus between those that got and those that didn't get.
I think in this case it would have to be a fair and equitable, just the same way that they gave us. It would have to be the same amount to me. I mean, that's something we can discuss.
We can get the money. Yeah, once we see the money, we can talk about those. Be thinking about some of your ideas. In the meantime, I wanted to show you another thing that we did with our mariachi. They had a singer from Mexico that came to do a video with our kids. His name is Gerardo Basua. He's a internationally known singer, and he came from Miami and recorded this video, and I'm gonna try to play a part of it.
Is that him there?
Yeah, that's him. You'll see him in a minute.
What kind of style do they call a singer who sings with a mariachi band?
Mariachi singer. Okay. Yeah. I want to see if I can find it's on YouTube, of course, but it has 4,000 views as we speak. So and you'll recognize some of the kids. We recorded this in West Valley by Redwood. That's a house.
I think you have to switch the screen share to the browser.
I probably do.
Hold on.
Say that again.
It wasn't sharing
the video.
Oh.
Okay.
At least it paused on a good spot. That's a good.
Okay. I am trying to share the right. What happened? Where is the share? Oh, right there.
And now you can.
Now, share. Which one is it? This one?
That one there. Yep.
Can you all see the new screen?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, I can see it too.
This house is in West Valley.
Yeah, I know it is. You said it was under.
Yeah. The guy in the white hat is the one that wrote the song.
And this is?
This is Ari's daughter.
Oh, yeah.
One of the twins.
And she's the other's daughter. This is an original song. Parents, neighbors, people that Alan knows.
Well, he's handsome, and so is his voice.
He's a very good singer. Mm-hmm. This is a parent right there with that close.
Yeah,
it's one of the parents.
Love it.
Those little guys are our kids. Mm-hmm. This is one of our kids. We have 8 kids that play the accordion. I think only 4 are on this one. She looks just like Daddy. He wrote the song by Guy Ritchie.
Yeah,
he wrote the song.
Who is he?
Just a Alan's friend.
Alan's friend.
That is a parent with a hat in the yeah, those are several of them. They were his students.
Sophia, she's kind of hiding behind
Sophie. This is little Sophie. Yeah.
It looks like some of his older.
Yeah.
Some of the older kids are there too.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, like Gia and Adam.
Yep.
Yeah, all of these kids right here in the front.
That's so awesome. Yeah, Camila and Zoe were also in my class.
Which one?
Camila and Zoe, the twins. They used to be. Yeah. Anyway, so that's that was the end of my report. If you have any questions, let me know.
Thank you, Lofia.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. We did. And we finished it 1 hour to the minute at 7:07.
I just want me to make a motion to adjourn.
Please do.
Motion made.
All right. Thank you, everybody. Have a wonderful night. I'll be sending out a survey for dinner and contacts. So thank you.
Thank you all. Thank you.
Thank you. Angela, thanks for the permission.
Gracias, Juan.
Angela, come on. I'll be in touch.
Yeah, sure. Good to see you guys.
Okay, bye-bye.